Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 through 7, which will be a portion of the scriptures we look at today. Ecclesiastes 5, found on page 555 in the Pew Bible before you. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We come today to worship our God, and as part of that worship, receiving the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We belong to a grand tradition of those who seek to be prepared and to prepare others before coming to the Lord's table. And in our history, there's been given great concern. There used to be an entire week set aside back in the homeland, even here in olden days, for various services of preparation before coming to the Lord's table. But question 175 of the larger catechism asks this: what is the duty of Christians after they have received the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? In my ministry, I seek to prepare you each week to be in a place to receive the Lord's Supper if the Spirit should so move that we start receiving it in a more regular basis. Spirit has not given me any signs that that will ever be the case. But we want to be prepared to commune with the Lord around His table. And we should prepare ourselves. But we should also consider what our duty is after receiving the Lord's Supper. Emily did a great job of celebrating me all the way across the country and back on our recent trip. And she and some good friends of ours in Chicago, the Birds, who have worshipped with us here in Sterling, threw a party, and there were Moody classmates, old congregational pastoral friends, a student from Sterling College was there. I mean, it was like this meeting of worlds that messes with your minds. But those of us who are Moody grads were reflecting on the Old Testament and New Testament survey classes we would take at 8 a.m. with Dr. Ben Ware or Dr. Marty. And we laughed about, when we look back in our notes, you'll see a solid line of note-taking, and then the handwriting gets a little sloppier. And then I actually have some where the writing just kind of turns into a line and drops off the bottom of the page. You could look back at that class and say, well, did I get much out of it? Well, did I prepare myself well? Did I handle myself well? And while maybe I didn't learn my lessons back then, I can reflect now back and learn those lessons of preparation and interaction. And that is the lesson we are called to learn when we come to the Lord's table. And so our large idea for you today is to fulfill your Christian duty after the Lord's Supper. Fulfill your Christian duty after the Lord's Supper, considering well all your activities in the means of grace. Fulfill your Christian duty after the Lord's Supper, considering well all your activities in the means of grace. The answer to question 175 begins this way: the duty of Christians after they have received the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to pause there. I know that's a fragment. I know that's not a complete thought. But firstly, know your Christian duty. In our generation, we're so caught up in me, my, and mine, and what my spiritual experience is, and what my thoughts are on the subject, that our generation has virtually flushed any cohesive, communal, corporate, Christian duty that should be fulfilled. But Scripture, as it is summarized, as we look here and there systematically to see what it says about various topics, we see that there is a duty of the Christian to follow after Christ, a duty of the Christian to declare His death in His supper, the duty of the Christian to, as we heard a number of weeks ago when we baptized little Annie, that we have the responsibility to improve our baptism, to reflect on it and to integrate its meaning and significance into our lives. Psalm 28 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him." This short, simple, worshipful verse declares clearly that our strength and our safety and our security, our trust, our help comes from the Lord. And so we must believe the Lord. We must obey the Lord and what He has said if we are to ever consider that we might experience the blessing of the Lord. And so we should know our Christian duty. Secondly, consider your interaction with the sacrament. Consider your interaction with the sacrament. It's the duty of Christians after they receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper seriously to consider how they behave themselves therein, and with what success. How did you behave? Boy, it's a good thing we're children of the Lord, because we're being talked to as children. Have you ever had a car ride home from an event, parents, and said, "Children, I want you to think about how you behaved in there tonight"? I know none of the parents here have done that. Just once. I'm sure it's happened many times. Okay? Have we considered how we have behaved in the midst of the sacrament, in the presence of the bread and the cup? And with what success? What benefit was that to us? Did we behave respectfully, appropriately, repentantly? Were we harboring sin in our hearts? Were we unwilling to give up a besetting sin that was that was keeping us from full communion with the Lord? Psalm 85 says, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people, to His saints. But let them not turn back to folly." As we have the supper here in our midst today, we are seeing the presence of Christ. We're not allowed pictures. We're not allowed images. But we are allowed bread and cup. We are allowed water in baptism. And here God is speaking to us. This is a means of grace as much as the preaching of the word is a means of grace. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, which we tend to read when we come to the Lord's table, says earlier in the passage, I do not commend you because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. He doesn't say at least you're coming together and doing something. No, he says that there is behavior that is inappropriate, that actually it doesn't just nullify what's going on. It reverses it, it seems. Later in that passage, he says, that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died, that if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. Consider how we behave ourselves, and with what success that behavior brings. In Acts 2, we see the early church, the early New Testament church, taking seriously. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And it says further on, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. See, the Lord promises to bless His means of grace. He promises to bless the preaching of the word, the receiving of the sacraments and prayer. And we cannot expect God's blessing if we are unwilling to take seriously those means of grace. And that's what this question of the larger catechism deals with, the human component. The sacrament is to be served to people, sinful, broken people like me and like you. And so it handles honestly this question and answer do. Handles honestly this human component. Thirdly, respond appropriately to prompt spiritual blessing. Respond appropriately to prompt spiritual blessing. The Westminster Divine said, if they find quickening and comfort, if you are spiritually enlivened through the experience of the sacrament and you are comforted in your life and your impending death, to bless God for it. Beg the continuance of it. Watch against relapses. Fulfill their vows and encourage themselves to a frequent attendance on that ordinance. That is, each time the ordinance is given, to be in attendance to it. And so, when we are blessed quickly and strongly in the presence of the sacrament, to take a posture of humility, to understand that it is God doing the blessing, that it is God accomplishing this work in you. So we should bless God for it. Beg the continuance of it. Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from us. Do not take the joy of our salvation. Restore in us that joy of a saved soul. Paul commends us wisely in 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. And you know the situation, the temptation, the sin that you have easily fallen to, and then you see a little victory. You see a little victory. And you start to think, a little victory is mastery. And then that temptation comes again and you sin. And we understand our weakness and frailty as people. So we should respond appropriately to prompt spiritual blessing. Fourthly, be patient in spiritual delay. Be patient in spiritual delay. It's hard to talk to anyone these days about worship, about church, without at some point this phrase floating to the surface. I just don't get anything out of it. I just don't get anything out of it. We might look at our worship here, simple as we seek to keep it. I know I'm even a little more liturgical than some of your personal preferences, and I appreciate your patience and love toward me. But we might come away many weeks saying, I don't get anything out of it. People look at our children in worship and they say they're rolling around on the floor, they're flailing in the pew, they're slapping their mother, they're kicking their sister. What could they possibly be getting out of it? And I would say it's a good thing we are not looking for short returns on our investment. But we are looking for a lifetime of discipleship that starts with sitting among God's covenant people, listening to the same man talk, being built up in the most holy faith. The Westminster Divines knew that human component that would say, you know what, I came to the table today and I didn't get anything out of it. I bet it's the pastor. You know, he's kind of a jerk anyway. I bet it's his problem. Now, look at these people around me. Some of them were dozing. People wonder why I get loud sometimes. It's the alarm clock feature of my preaching. Or look at the building we're in. I mean, it's dated. I prefer something a little more nuanced. I like candles. I like laser lights. I like fog machines. I like whatever. Whatever it might be. But the Westminster Divines tried to cut straight to the heart and they said, but if they find no present benefit, more exactly to review their preparation to and carriage at the sacrament. How did you prepare? How did you handle yourself in this moment? But then words of encouragement quickly come. See, because then the temptation falls to the other side. I didn't get anything out of it. I went to bed too late last night. I didn't dress up enough today. I didn't X, Y, Z, whatever it might be. In both which, how you prepared and how you came, how you handled yourself, if they can approve themselves to God and their own consciences, they are to wait for the fruit of it in due time. In that way, it's like baptism. I'm sure Tanner and Courtney can testify to you today that Annie's sin nature was not eradicated when we poured water on her a few weeks ago. She gets selfish. She gets cranky. Just like all of us did as kids. But see, we are looking for the fruit of that baptism in due time. That in due time, God will renew her heart. He will wash her with the Word. He will save her. He will sanctify her. He will even glorify her in His presence in heaven. We are not looking for immediate return on investment. We are looking for long-term fruit in due time. So many times anymore, we handle our spiritual lives like someone who maybe wants to be a weightlifter, a bodybuilder. What's your max? How much can you squat?
A lot.
Please, none of this scientific jargon. Give me a number. 405 pounds you can squat. How many times have you been to the gym? You can't tell me, can you? No. And did you start with 403 and work your way up to 405?
Yes.
Lying. We'll address that at our next visit. We'll talk about it at lunch. No. You start with a lesser amount, you work your way up. You have an end game. But so many people want to show up at one worship service, one administration of the sacrament, one this, one that. And I'm just not blown away. I'm not this instant spiritual bodybuilder. And so therefore, it's all fruitless. I went to the gym once and I couldn't squat 405 pounds. So I might as well stay home. I didn't get anything out of it. Now, our forebears, the Westminster Divines, would remind us, review your preparation. Review your handling of the moment. And if you can say, in all honesty, I did my best to prepare. I did my best to reflect honestly on my sin and my relationship to Christ and His body in that moment. If you can approve yourself to God in your own conscience, then wait and be patient. Be patient and come again and come again and come again. I can tell you, those to whom we look up to and respect spiritually, it's not because they read the Bible once. It's not because they prayed once. It's because they have built disciplines in their lives that have built their spiritual strength. Fifthly, be faithful, persistent, and repentant in the sacrament. So we're to review our preparation and our handling of ourselves, our behavior at the table. And if we see, this is what the divines see, if they see that they have failed in either, they are to be humbled and to attend upon it afterward with more care and diligence. In Isaiah 1, the prophet reminds us, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The Apostle Paul is clear to remind us that our grief should not be a worldly grief. As one minister says, there are plenty of people in jail and in prison who are sorry. But they are sorry that they got caught and that they are now in a place where they can no longer do their sin, do their wickedness. The Apostle Paul calls us to a godly zeal, a godly earnestness in repenting of our sins, that it be a godly sorrow for the sin that we have done, even the sin of mishandling, perhaps, the sacrament before us. So we are to be faithful. We're called to come again and again and again. We are called to be persistent, to be faithful in waiting for the fruit of this means of grace. And we are to be repentant. Even as we come to the table, if the Lord brings to mind a sin that we cannot take care of in that moment, if we are ready to do business with God, we should go ahead and receive the sacrament. Likewise, afterward, I would say, if you reflect back and you realize, no, there is this aspect of my life that needs killed. It needs sanctified. I need to repent of it. How can we not say that the sacrament is at work? That you are not being washed by the blood of Jesus. You are not being nourished by His very word that through the Spirit would convict you of that sin. So be faithful, persistent, and repentant in the sacrament. And lastly, reflect on your handling of all the means of grace. When we think of the reading and the preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments and of prayer, I believe we shouldn't just reflect on how we handle ourselves at the Lord's table, but how do we handle ourselves in all the means of grace? How do we handle ourselves at the opportunity in the afternoon to worship again, to be confronted by the Word again, to pray together as God's people? Do we allow our lives to be so overwhelming that we have to skip worship to accomplish what God has called us to do. I would say that if you think you need to skip worship to do what God would have you to do, that's not God having you do it. Because God is a gracious God. He is not a slave driver. He's a gracious God who gives 6 days for us to accomplish all that He calls us to do. And He gives us a seventh to set aside to worship Him. And you can tell me I don't understand. You can tell me I don't get it. You can tell me, well, Joel, you're a pastor. You're paid to be here. Guess who's paying me? You are. You should want a return on your investment. How do you handle yourself in prayer? Are we faithful to pray for our children, our grandchildren, though they may not even be born yet? As faithful psalm singers, do we realize there are generations to come for which we can be praying? Are we praying for our small and shrinking congregations out on the Western Plain? Or do we despise them and say, why don't they just hang up the psalters and go home? Are we praying for ministers like Frank Smith and his wife Penny, who are laboring in very dark, dark places in our culture and society, where part of the work of the gospel is to just even establish what a home is, what a family is, what a father is, what a mother is, what a life is like that does not de facto end in drug abuse or in prostitution or in rape or in murder? Are we praying for those men? Do we anticipate with joy the baptisms that the Lord will bring our congregation? Not just as children are born, but as adults are converted. How do we handle all of the means of grace? I believe as the Westminster Divines call us to reflect on how we have handled the supper, we should also be called to reflect on how we handle the preaching of the word, baptism, and prayer. Fulfill your Christian duty after the Lord's Supper. As you go from here today, the work is not done. There's more to do. And consider well all your activities in the means of grace. Are you diligent in all the opportunities that the Lord gives you to be blessed by His Word, by His sacraments, and by prayer to Him? Stand with me as we pray. Lord, each of us knows in our own ways how we have been unfaithful to You. And Lord, what a spot to stand in and declare Your faithfulness. That we do not always handle rightly receiving Your word. That we do not always handle rightly the opportunity of baptism and the Lord's Supper. That we do not always handle rightly the opportunity to pray to You. But Lord, You are faithful. And we know that in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, but there is the opportunity to obey. To seek forgiveness of our sins. To grow in Christ. Father, bless us and prepare our hearts as we come to Your table now. And Lord, sustain us and nourish us through the supper. We pray in Jesus' name. And church, let us pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.